I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the most haunted city on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And I'm JT Timmons.
And we are filming this after the solar eclipse.
Yes. Technically, we got here while it was waning.
Yes. Yes.
We arrived in studio as it was ending.
Yes, and we are going to be talking about the folklore and some of the paranormal aspects of solar eclipses. Because if you didn't know, for all of humanity, people have been discussing what happens during a solar eclipse.
Right.
Literally every civilization had it.
It's a big deal. The sun went out. And that causes a great deal of conversation amongst the peoples.
And so we were just filming the fix. And so Chris had mentioned that there was a lot of studies done on animals and how
they will observe animals during the eclipse, because one of the first things that they always talk about is how confused animals get, how nighttime birds sing, and how, you know, the crickets start to chirp because they think it's night. And it's fascinating. That's a very fascinating thing. So if every time there's an eclipse, there is a group of scientists that will observe animals and try to denote what kinds of behaviors they have. And they basically broke into three behaviors. One behavior is they go into nighttime ritual. The other behavior is confusion and anxiety because they have a sense of time, which is something we don't really think about. A lot of animals don't pay attention to time. They're not, this is way too early for the sun to go away. But there are animals who must understand that this is an anomaly, that the sun did not go down in the west and that it was, you know, there's something strange going on. Those animals tend to have an anxiety attack. And then there is the anomaly. And the anomaly is fascinating because these are just things that they can't really chalk up to anything that they understand. The one that was really striking is there's these Galapagos tortoises who just started mating during the eclipse. And it was like, that's weird. This isn't the season. This isn't the time. This isn't anything like that. They're like, this is observable, but it doesn't actually fit into anything that we can categorize. So they call it just like an anomaly of behavior.
They jump timelines.
Right. You know, it was like a big Barry White needle just dropped into, oh yeah. And then, you know, the turtle's like, you're looking good in your shell. And so, yeah, weirdly enough, that is the kind of thing. But the most intriguing thing, and we talked about this earlier, was that the scientists stated that you do not need to worry about your pets. Your pets are not going to go blind. They're not going to stare at the sun because in all of their research and all of the things that they've thought, they've never seen an animal harmed by the eclipse, meaning they are not sitting in their trees or sitting, you know, in their homes looking up at the sky because it went dark. Meaning animals are smart enough not to look directly into the sun, but humans. Humans, thousands upon thousands of humans, will do permanent damage to their eyes staring at the sun.
Crazy.
Yep.
We're not smart enough to not look at the sun.
That sounds about right. That tracks, you know. I will say, though, my silky terrier does keep time. You know, when
there you go.
When it starts, the sun's starting to go down a little bit and we haven't played tennis ball with her yet.
Yes.
She gets really antsy because she's like, we're running out of sunlight. She really does.
She's like, come on.
She's like, get up. We have 15 minutes. And so, but nonetheless, y'all. So we're going to be talking about all about the eclipses and stuff like that. Before we get into that, though, we have a few new Parajunkies to thank. So we want to thank Jenna Schnitzer, Courtney Heinrich, Steph B, Linz, and Inika. Thank you guys so much for joining us over on Patreon. Yes, we have added a couple new things. So if you don't know what the fix is, I know I referred to that just a few minutes ago, and some of you might not know what that is. The fix is basically a new thing that we're doing when we live stream the episodes while before we film them. We're doing a 30-minute sort of segment that we're calling The Fix, where basically we talk about whatever paranormal topic we're interested in, or we do a Q&A session, or both, all of those sort of things with the Parajunkies. Only the live streams for the episodes have always been just for Parajunkies, but now we've added a little bit more. Yeah. And then if you're an Ultra Parajunkie, which means you're a $20 patron over on Patreon, that means you could join us once a month for what we're calling The Detox, which basically JT and I have a very good friend who is a professional mixologist who is crafting us a recipe that can be either a cocktail or a mocktail. If you're not into drinking that way, that is what we will be having during the detox. But if you would also like to indulge, we will send the recipe out before we do it, so that we can have a little Zoom happy hour with our Ultra Parajunkies so that we can get to know you better outside of the little icons on Patreon. And
that'll be happening once a month.
Once a month. We're still working on the cocktail. But it might be a little stormy in Savannah. You never know.
Okay.
Well, okay. All right.
And that first one is April 21st.
April 21st. And that is a couple days before we're going to be at Waverly Hills.
Yes.
So that'll be super fun. We'll probably be discussing kind of our game plan for that with the Ultra Parajunkies. But we also, speaking of Waverly Hills, we're going to be releasing the first episode of the Waverly Hills Breakdown on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So only a couple days from now, from when you hear this. But yeah, we're going to do kind of a breakdown of the history, and we're going to talk about the paranormal going floor by floor, essentially.
Yep.
Discussing kind of what we could run into. I think we're going to try to get Tina Mattingly, the owner of Waverly Hills. I think we're going to try to get her onto the podcast.
Yeah, we're trying to get her scheduled
to see if she can kind of give us some insight of what she's experienced, at least. And because she's been owning this place since 2001. So I'm sure she's had plenty of encounters.
At the very least, she would also have all the reports of people who've had encounters.
For sure.
Exactly.
So I'll work on that.
Yes. So expect that on Saturday, y'all. But let's go ahead and get into the episode.
Yes.
The episode.
Oh, and then The Conjuring House.
Oh, yes. Debria finally finished The Conjuring House episode, which was a beast. So
it was a beast. She combed through over 30 hours of footage and audio. It was insane.
Mm-hmm.
It
has been approved by The Conjuring House for us to post. So that
How long
be
did it end up being?
1 hour, 17 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like all the highlights.
We
I mean,
it's
action.
Amazon Prime.
Oh yeah, it's not a bad. Well, the Conjuring House, they won't let us do it. We'd have to pay $800.
Okay.
Remember?
Yeah.
It's per channel. They turned it into
that
a business.
That might be worth it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, maybe. Maybe I don't know.
It might be worth it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a parajunkie, you're going to get it first. So, yeah.
yes.
But y'all go watch that because Debria worked her butt off on that.
Yep.
So
that's on Patreon right now, and it'll go public on YouTube Saturday.
Yep. So Saturday's a big day, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, so that is going to be a lot of fun as well.
Cool.
But yes, so paranormal activity during solar eclipses has been a topic of fascination and speculation for centuries. Many cultures and individuals around the world do hold belief about solar eclipses, and due to their dramatic and rare nature, are capable of triggering unusual paranormal events. Or we're just going to insert that every time we say the word paranormal. It's JT's.
Not even a good
JT's,
whistle.
Yeah. JT's questionable whistling stylings.
Exactly. The very weak, like, desert whistle.
Well, okay. So my lips are super dry because I got super sunburned fishing all day 2 days ago. We caught a lot of fish, 3 keeper reds. But ever since, I am a tomato.
Yeah.
And so my
and
my,
a cactus, my desert he is dry.
My desert whistle is understandable.
But fair enough.
Fair enough.
Did you know
get that, boy
that
some aqua
fishermen are we're so charred because we can't put sunscreen on ourselves? Because if we have any sunscreen oil on our hands and we go to pick the shrimp up, the oil immediately kills all your live bait. That's why I don't put sunscreen on.
Fascinating. And
and I was gone.
Put a glove on.
Yes.
I can't even risk that. I'm freaked out. I don't want to do it.
He, one of his fishing all buddies right. is allergic to shrimp, so that's going to be yeah, his I mean,
he's,
task.
He's probably going to put sunscreen on my face now. I'll be like, Steven, baby, come on over here.
You got a Brokeback Mountain situation going on there.
Brokeback boat.
Not the Brokeback boat.
Brokeback boat.
Anyway.
Oh, well, Lord. Anyways, back to the solar eclipse.
All right, we were talking about the solar eclipse.
But yes. Okay, so some historical beliefs and superstitions. This is kind of a brief one. We're going to go into some a little bit more in depth into a few different cultures towards the end of the episode, but just kicking it off. But historically, many cultures viewed solar eclipses as omens or signs from the gods, often interpreting them as forewarnings of disaster or significant changes, which, knowing what we know now, I think a part of that is because solar eclipses oftentimes are accompanied by earthquakes. And could you imagine being alive pre all of the scientific research we have and suddenly the sun disappears and then an earthquake happens? How horrifying would that be?
Although I also find it fascinating, though, that many cultures – were charting and understanding how the skies and the moon moves and doing this for agriculture purposes, knowing when to harvest, knowing when to do these things. So many cultures actually knew when the eclipse was going to happen because they charted it. As a matter of fact, like the Mayan calendar included every eclipse up until 2012. So they were that far ahead, knowing exactly the dates that this was going to happen. So there were cultures that worked in that agricultural field.
Dang.
So, you know, while there were plenty of people who were oblivious to what was going on, those cultures that depended on knowing when to plant and harvest, they had a leg up. And it's interesting because in those cultures, oftentimes the eclipse like notion is a celebration because it is a marking of time, and they usually typify it by having these grand parties. And it was almost like a New Year's party. In a lot of ways, because they thought that it was symbolically the death of the sun.
Right.
And that way, when the sun returns, it's a new year. It's a new time, a new sun. And when the new sun came out, they were like and they treated it kind of like New Year's. They made resolutions. Yeah. They like, you know, they're like, this is the new harvest time. And, you know, since they generally happen in a generational pattern, you know, that became the thing was, when the moon passes in front of the sun is the end of an era, an end of a period.
And also, yeah, if you want to ever read one of the witchiest books out there, read The Farmer's Almanac.
Yes.
It's for real. Have you ever read a Farmer's Almanac?
They make wild predictions.
They do. They're like, don't trust toads on February 12th.
Yep.
Like things like that.
Yep.
It's crazy.
No way.
Yeah. It is one of the wildest books you could possibly read. But a lot of times it is very helpful if in your witchcraft practices even to know, especially if you practice green witchcraft or things like that and you're working with a lot of plants. It is incredibly helpful, but it is sometimes a bit comical to read.
It's absolutely bizarre. And it is, you know, all these canonically known things that are occurring, and they make correlations to all this behavior. It's fascinating because they do make eerily accurate weather predictions often. And you're like, how are you seeing this far in advance? And it's like, well, they're taking into account all of this information that we have preceding it, because if you want to grow, you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to the seasons. You have to pay attention to the temperatures. You have to know when it's dry outside, when it's wet outside. All of that becomes super important.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. The more you know. But yes, So historical beliefs and superstitions surrounding solar eclipses are as diverse as they are fascinating, and they often reflect humanity's attempt to understand and cope with these dramatic celestial events. And across different cultures, people have crafted myths, legends, and rituals to explain the temporary disappearance of the sun, often attributing them to supernatural cases or omens.
Ooh, boogity boogity.
Boogity boogity. But yes. Now, before we get into kind of those breakdowns, some of the more modern paranormal associations oftentimes include psychic sensitivity. It is believed that by some that solar eclipses can enhance psychic abilities, and that the unique alignment of the sun and the moon and earth is thought to create a special energy that amplifies intuitive powers. And people might engage in activities like tarot reading, mediumship, or attempting to communicate with spirits more successfully during eclipses. And I think that really follows the same line as, you know, days that are traditionally seen as the veil being extra thin. It's supposed that there's so much magnetic pull happening during these eclipses that it draws spirits out almost. Like,
huh.
And they also say that for like planetary alignment. You know, the more planets that are in alignment, the more enhanced psychic abilities are. So when there is when everything is in alignment, they say that is the paramount of our abilities, is because everything had magnetically fallen into a straight path, either to or from the sun. Mm-hmm. And that gives us, you know, heightened abilities. But really, if you just look at tides and the way that it is affected by the rotation, the gravitational pull of the moon as it passes by, the fact that it happens in the midday that the moon passes by us, that's pulling us in a time and a period that we are not, you know, accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that all makes sense, that biomagnetism, you can't really refute that we are affected by the moon's pull on the earth.
And also, just in a witchcraft sort of way, a lot of people believe that if you menstruate during solar eclipses, you are even more likely to have very intense psychic awakenings.
Superpowers.
Exactly. Very intense psychic situations happening, mostly because of the same thing, the magnetic energy that is around you and the iron that you're releasing and things like that. Iron, of course, always plays a big role in most witchcraft practices or superstitions.
Which also makes you like more susceptible. Mm-hmm. To psychic attack, supernatural attack, mm-hmm. Things of that nature, because a lot of people they don't look at it from all angles. They're like, oh, you know, you'll have heightened psychic abilities. I was like, yeah, but you're also a big target, because when your iron level is low, the fae,
yeah,
are not nearly as afraid of you.
They're like, they've released all their iron.
Yeah, get them.
Get them.
Get them.
Get them.
But people also believe in energy shifts that happen during this. In the realm of metaphysics, solar eclipses are often seen as gateways to significant energy shifts on Earth. These shifts are said to bring about deep personal transformation and collective changes. Mm-hmm. As such, individuals might meditate or practice specific rituals to align themselves with these energies for personal growth or healing. Now, this one, I think the reason why a lot of people were not wanting to align with this energy in particular is because it is in Aries. If you know anything about Aries, it is chaos constantly. They are chaos goblin energies. Usually Aries is a sign that's oftentimes associated with war and war on water and things that. And so most people want to stay away from that sort of thing, especially absolutely. In the era of, you know, being in this age of Aquarius. I think a lot of people were very jarred by too much transformation happening and too much aggression and chaos. So, I think every eclipse kind of has its own personal energy that is going on through it, depending on what time it is.
And it's probably worth noting that when you devote a specific time to that kind of self-maintenance and self-awareness. Those are heightened activities anyway. You could do these rituals at any time and reap the rewards, but because we place importance on these specific dates and these specific times and these specific things, the ritualization of these practices are what give it that extra alignment within us, because we yearn for an orderly distribution of energies. Huh. And so, like, you know, it's that classic, you know, going to Sabbath, you know, every Sunday being in church, what you're doing is you're creating a pattern, a rhythmic pattern at which you meditate at a certain time, in which you observe things at a certain time. The reason why we have these holidays and special days, if you really look at those days in the equinox and solstice standings, they all fall very closely with how nature itself is geared towards changes at that time. And so we create these celebrations, these rituals that give us permission to invest our energies in how the world is actually interacting with the energies around.
Exactly. People also believe that these are times for dimensional openings. And there's a belief that solar eclipses open up portals to other dimensions or realms, making it easier for entities or energies from those places to interact with our world. You see this a lot with the Mandela effect. People think that every time we have eclipses or things like that, we're jumping timelines. And so they're like, that's the reason why we have Mandela effects, or we have these little rips in the time continuum.
I recently came across a Mandela effect that really bothered me.
Oh no.
And I don't know, and this may just be I'm not all that smart. It's very possible. I'm not claiming that I know everything about anything, but when I was growing up, until recently, like literally this year, I thought an ox was an animal all of its own.
Is it not?
It's just a cow.
What?
What?
What do you mean?
Yeah, you think of like a yak, right? A big animal or something like that. No. An ox is just a cow that has been. Yeah, look it up. I looked it up and I was so upset because all my life I was certain that an ox was an ox and a cow was a cow and a bull was a bull and a steer was a steer. Well, I mean, and a steer was a cow. So the steer and the bull was what I always thought. I thought a steer was a castrated bull or a bull was a castrated steer, or I don't know. All I know is all my life I thought an ox was its own kind of animal.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Why do oxes get such large horns?
Okay, so here's the difference between a bull and an ox.
Castration.
Okay. Yes.
That's it. Yes. It's castrated. And I did not know this. And I swear – when I heard it the first time was only, like I said, a month or two ago. I'm 52 years old. And all my life, because they refer to oxen and ox and thou shalt not, you know, covet thy neighbor's ox and things like that. I thought the ox was an animal like a yak.
Oh, wow.
Like if you told me a yak was a cow, I would have, my brain would melt. Because I think a yak is a very specific animal, like a water buffalo.
Yeah.
If you told me a water buffalo was just a cow, I would have issue. That was a Mandela effect, right? Me, because there was never a time when anybody stopped and said, an ox is just a cow that's been castrated, or a bull is just an ox that was castrated.
Yeah.
Whatever. However it pans out, I would like to go on record and say, I feel like I'm living in a different timeline because it seems to me, and I'm not, I'm not without reading. I'm not without, you know, I've studied. I have some level of competence with words, and ox and cow being a cow, being a bull.
I don't like that.
It's bewildering.
Isn't it bewildering? I spent my whole life thinking that an ox was its own thing. And apparently it's not.
That's upsetting.
I'm going to start saying things are OS instead of BS.
Right. Yes.
Exactly.
It's OS.
Be more publicly accepting
of the ox.
Just people won't be like, yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, let's
just
move, we're let's accepting move on. The ox.
Solar eclipses.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
No.
I went off on a tangent. I apologize.
No. That's
my
wild.
Brain is still computing. Is like doing a dial up tone right now.
Right.
It's. But some of the other situations are temporal disturbances. Some theories suggest that the unique conditions of a solar eclipse can cause thinning of the veil between the past, present, and future, leading to time distortions or the feeling of stepping out of time. This can
time hole.
Exactly. This can manifest as deja vu, precognition, or more tangible experiences of temporal anomalies. And a part of me wonders, have you heard about Cerna or the black hole thing?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. CERN, whatever.
CERN.
The
Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, because they launched it today.
The day of the eclipse?
Yeah. Yeah. And they launched the baby one in the U.S. a couple weeks ago, testing it.
And then there was an earthquake in New York.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I wonder how those people are doing. I wonder if
they're like, an ox is its own animal.
Because they've jumped timelines with their
an ox has a big one horn coming right out of the top of their head.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah. If you haven't gone down that rabbit hole, have fun with that one, because that's also bewildering.
Right. Where they peered into 11 dimensions.
Yep.
And they were like, yeah, let's turn this machine on. No. Don't do it.
Don't do that. But yeah, there's also increased haunting. So there's a notion that ghost spirits and other entities are more active during solar eclipses, same as
solstice.
Exactly. They've also jumped.
Oh, it's dark. Boo!
Boo!
Wait, it's light again. No!
It's like, whoops, sorry about that.
The 4-minute haunt.
Exactly. This could be due to the eclipse's energy affecting the spiritual realm or making it easier for spirits to manifest or communicate in the physical world.
Thinning the veil.
A lot of paranormal investigators might use this time to conduct investigations, hoping to capture more significant evidence of the supernatural. And if you are doing that, let us know what you find, because I haven't heard anybody say, you know what I found? I found some crazy nonsense in this building on the solar eclipse day.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. But we should contact Haunted House and saying, how's it going? Well, you know.
How was it today?
Like, both Waverly Hills is right in the path.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so is, for that matter, the Conjuring House. Mm-hmm. But Waverly Hills definitely in the path. We should contact them and say,
how was it?
What's up?
How were your ghosts that day? How are they
Sup
feeling?
With your ghosts. Yeah, how are they feeling? Were any of them feeling a little off?
A little uneasy. Were they picturing oxes with a horn out there?
The single horned ox?
People also do cleansing and protection rituals to manage the intense energies and potential for negative or unwanted spiritual encounters. Individuals might engage in cleansing and protection rituals, and these can include using sage or other herbs to cleanse spaces, wearing protective amulets, or performing rituals to safeguard against malevolent energies or spirits. And of course, there is a lot of astrological impact as well. In astrology, eclipses are seen as powerful movements that can bring about change and revelation. They're believed to impact individuals based on their zodiac sign and personal charts, influencing life events, emotions, and personal growth trajectories. Particularly with this one, apparently it's been the Tauruses, the Virgos, and the Sagittariuses that have just been going through it.
Sure.
And so today,
this is the time. This is their time.
This is their moment to have really intense issues.
Right.
And so
it's coming for you.
So
moon's coming for you.
Which, you know what Tauruses are? Bulls.
Oxen.
They're oxen. But so check on your Tauruses, your Virgos, and your Sagittarii in your life. But there's also some psychological and atmospheric effects as well. People oftentimes encounter temperature drops during the eclipse. So during a total solar eclipse, the temperature can drop noticeably sometimes by 10 degrees or more.
So if you believe in ghosts and thermodynamics, when the temperature drops, ghosts consume heat, And so when the temperature drops drastically on its own, it's very possible that those ghosts, that Ooh. Shift in the energy mm-hmm. could cause them to seek you out because we are a constant source of heat. And wow. if you do ghost hunts in colder climates and colder weather, you are far more likely to have experiences because the ghosts don't need to, they don't have the ambient energy to feed on. They now have to look to other ways to get that heat. And that's why oftentimes when you're ghost hunting, you'll find a cold spot. It's because that spirit is actually pulling the heat out of the air, using that heat to power itself or give itself some abilities. So yeah, it would be interesting if there was just a drop in temperature. If there were a ghost nearby, they'd be like, I just got unplugged.
You know? I got to heat up a little bit.
Gotta heat up. Who's here?
But yes, so this can obviously create kind of an eerie sensation. But animals, like we talked about, animals often react to the eclipse as if it were twilight. Birds may stop singing. Some daytime animals might start preparing for night, and nocturnal animals may become active. And it can produce unusual behaviors in animals. Hmm. Obviously, lighting changes as well. The lighting during an eclipse can become very strange. Shadows can become sharper, and the quality of light may appear as if the world is under a filter, which is something JT had mentioned today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
That was weird.
Like an HD effect.
Yeah.
You know, it's everything's a little crisper.
It's like putting an ND filter in front of your camera, like a neutral density filter. Yeah. it increased dynamic range. I didn't squint as much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is wild.
Which is wild.
Yeah. Your eyes have 17 stops of dynamic range. And that's about as much as an Arri Alexa camera, which is what they film Netflix on. And that's why Arri Alexas are the most expensive. So that's really interesting. But actually, just real fast, EO Serenity wanted us to read her comment because she said that something really strange happened to her right now in real time, I guess during the eclipse, when she was working. And out of the corner of her eye, she thought she saw a black cat walk by. Oh. We were talking about animals, but she's on the third floor.
Interesting. Ooh.
Yeah.
Outside her window?
Yeah. Yeah. So she just wanted us to read that.
That's interesting. That's spooky. Very. Oh, and by the way, I'm not over this oxen thing. By the way, isn't Paul Bunyan's
yes, it's ox
blue.
Yes,
but isn't blue a female? Wasn't blue a female? Is it my imagination?
No,
that blue.
I feel like you're right, but
because that's what I thought. I thought they were male and female oxen, but apparently there isn't. Ox are male cows. Moving on. Sorry.
Crazy. So many.
Also, phantom black cats walking by windows on third floors. No.
Yeah.
Time.
Absolutely.
Timeline jump.
Because yeah. For real.
In that timeline, cats can levitate, which is not what we need in this world.
Well, I'm. In my mind, I'm trying to remember all of the different lores about cats and spirits and things of that nature. In so many eclipse lore around the world, there is a notion that there is an animal eating the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I think in China, there's like celestial dragons eating the sun.
That is correct.
And one of the – I wish I knew which – tribe it is, they believe a frog eats the sun. There's a frog that is in the third world up and it eats the sun, and they throw a party and they have to make like loud noise and dance and do this stuff to convince the frog to spit the sun out.
What?
So when the sun gets – when the eclipse happens, they throw this rager trying to get the frog to spit out the sun, and it always works. So good on them. I love that story.
Yeah.
Like the idea of a community getting together is like, we're going to scare the frog in the sky and we're going to make him spit out the sun. And I was like, yeah, throw that party. Awesome.
And on that note, we're going to talk about some of the rituals and beliefs around solar eclipses of various societies and cultures. So number one being ancient Mesopotamia. In ancient Mesopotamia, eclipses were considered bad omens, particularly for the king. To protect the king from any harm predicted by an eclipse, a substitute king was temporarily installed. Their wording, not mine.
It's kind of like the king, uh, the King of Fools Day, where they like make a fake king, and it's like, take it out on him.
And the substitute would bear the brunt of any misfortune. The poor guy who got chosen to be the fake king for that day.
Although you get to live like a king for a day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, except for when you're getting smited by the solar system.
With the very slightest chance of smiting. with a chance of smiting.
While the real king would go into hiding and later reclaim the throne, hopefully after any danger had passed.
Okay.
What they don't tell you is that he had to kill the other king get his throne back.
It was just his doppelganger, actually.
That's a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But you said doppelganger, so this video should go way up in views.
Exactly. And like Chris was saying, in China, in ancient China particularly, it was believed that a solar eclipse occurred because a celestial dragon was devouring the sun.
Okay.
Which is awesome to think about. Could you imagine looking up and seeing a dragon weaving around and eating the sun? I mean, it would be terrifying, but... Yeah,
but the way that they would scare the dragon off is people would bang pots, drums, and make loud noises to scare the dragon away from the sun.
Wow.
I mean, China...
That is so interesting.
China is enormous. So can you imagine if every... basically a continent of China.
Asia. Just bang, 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 bang.
I would also run away if I was the dragon.
That is a party.
Yes. And the tradition reflects the deep-rooted cultural belief in the power of noise to ward off evil and bad fortune.
Okay. Right. And a lot of cultures have bells that they hang around, chimes, things like that, are supposed to cause spirits to stay away.
Yeah. Yep. We do that here.
Yeah.
We have
bottles.
Bottle tree.
Mm-hmm. We have bells on our door specifically for that reason.
Yeah.
Mostly to cleanse anybody that's coming into our house of their issues.
Okay.
Yeah, we have bells on our doors for the same reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The in India, the Hindu tradition for solar eclipses are considered to be inauspicious times, with the celestial event being interpreted as the sun being swallowed by the demon Rahu. And people participate in rituals such as fasting, bathing in sacred rivers, and performing special prayers and pujas, worship rituals, to protect themselves from evil influences and to purify the mind and body. And after the eclipse, charity and food are often distributed to earn spiritual merit.
Okay.
And that's partially because I believe in Hinduism, they... have levels that you can acquire for your afterlife.
That's good research.
The caste system.
Yeah, they want the best karma that they can get.
Right. And what's interesting about all of this is if you're listening to these are rituals that are based on foreknowledge of the eclipse.
Uh-huh.
It's not the eclipse starts and they run out and they start doing this. It's that they understand that it's coming, because an eclipse does not last long. It's not like the day is lost. It is only a few minutes in which the sun is out. But these rituals actually start long before the sun starts to disappear. Mm. And then, of course, they conclude when the sun is fully back out.
And then the Navajos in North America,
The old man sun.
Oh, yes. They believed that the sun represented life force, that it represented the creator. And so when the sun went away, they believed that was the death of the sun. And so that time was supposed to be in mourning. You're supposed to be reflecting on your choices in life and things like that. And so they would refrain from eating, drinking, or sleeping during an eclipse, and instead would sing special songs and engage in prayer to maintain harmony and balance in the world.
Interesting.
And you see that specific kind of belief structure in our New Year's celebrations. We often think of the old year going out as an old man, and he actually dies at the stroke of midnight, and the baby New Year arrives for 1 year of life. And so there is supposed to be this retrospection, this all anxiety kind of notion that the old is dying, that it's the end of that entity's journey. And so we kind of overdo it on the celebratory side, but we are supposed to spend that time reflecting on the year.
Exactly. And then Vikings, the Norse people believed that eclipses were caused by wolves chasing the sun and moon across the sky. And to protect themselves, they would try to scare the wolves away and they would make as much noise as humanly possible.
This was I was about to say, because I want to say that there are Native American cultures that do this too. They use noise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how interesting that yeah. is a phenomenon all around the world. Yeah. These were independent cultures that did not,
integrate at all.
Exactly. They weren't integrated or they didn't have a whole lot of, interaction, but they all were like, you know what scares away things? Loud noises. Let's make loud noises. Scare away the thing that's eating the sun. By the way, if you can scare away a thing that's eating the sun, good on you.
Good on you.
It just goes to show that we're all the same.
It does. Inside. That exactly. We come to a consensus of behaviors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating because these are wild behaviors. That is something fascinating that we're all like, yay, get away from the sun. And everybody's doing it all around the world.
In ancient Egypt, solar eclipses were less feared in Egypt than in other cultures, but because Egyptians had a strong understanding of the cyclical nature of celestial events. However, the sun was central to their religion, the sun god Ra, being one of the most important deities, and any anomaly in the sun's behavior would have been cause for concern in religious rituals. And that then a couple more, y'all.
Well, I can't imagine that any culture existed without reverence for the sun.
Right.
Without understanding that the sun was instrumental in growing food and providing warmth in, because the days of longer sunlight were the days of plenty.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then Maya and Aztec cultures, eclipses had significant astrological and divine implications for both the Mayans and the Aztecs. They conducted ceremonies and offered sacrifices to appease the gods and ensure the continuity of the world. Solar eclipses were seen as a powerful moment of alignment and transformation. They were also a society, like we talked about earlier, that were heavily invested in celestial movements and absolutely. Studying the planetary.
People underestimate exactly how much early man understood the night sky and celestial, movement of celestial bodies. Because we kind of like get this notion that, they thought the sun moved across the sky. And it's like, well, they were able to accurately predict and know so many things by witnessing and watching where these sparkly lights in the sky were. So they were a lot more attentive than most people today.
Exactly. And then last one are the West Africans. In cultures of West Africa, solar eclipses are seen as moments when the sun and moon are in conflict. And community elders may meditate this cosmic dispute through prayer or mediate this cosmic dispute through prayer and offerings, asking for peace and balance to be restored. So
interesting.
Yeah. So a lot of variations of people's right. thoughts and feelings on eclipses. But nonetheless, I think the consensus is that we're all like, that's a weird thing that happens in the world.
The sun went out.
The sun went out because I think that tickles human brains.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what century you were in.
And there has to be a moment in the middle of it where you're like, is it coming back?
Is it coming back? Is this the end?
Is it coming back? It's coming back, right? It's coming back. Is it coming back? Is it? And luckily, like I said, they don't last long. So I'm sure there are so many blind people in history because they stared at the eclipse.
Right.
And we're like, is it coming back? Is it coming back? I think I see it. There's a bit. There it is. Why do my eyes hurt?
And they're like, that was punishment from the dragon.
Right. The dragon was like, I was eating that.
I was hungry. I waited for a whole century for right. this moment. And y'all bang your pots and scare me off.
But, I blind you.
And that is not historically nor folklorically accurate.
No,
but
we're not claiming to understand any of that.
But regardless, hopefully y'all enjoyed your solar eclipse experience. It stayed sunny here in Savannah, but
it did.
If it went dark for you, I hope you had a good time doing that. And I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. And if you have any ghost mail or stories that you would like to send us, please go ahead and send them over to ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com. We're always taking new ghost stories. And if you have a weird solar eclipse experience, have at it in ghost mail. Let us know.
Please do. Yeah, absolutely.
But With that, y'all, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.